Every month, we talk to Richard Campanella about his Cityscapes column for NOLA.com. And this month's Cityscapes column focuses on a topic that I know you've done a lot of work on, Bourbon Street. You seem to have pinpointed the dawn of the golden age of Bourbon Street. And what was that exactly?
January 13th, 1926. So about 90 years ago. I'm using golden age in quotes there. And it was the opening of the first nightclub. And a nightclub has it's a specific social and cultural phenomena. It was called Maxime's, and it was located at 300 Bourbon, where the Royal Sonesta, where that Desire sign is right now, across from the old Absinthe House. Bourbon Street starts to, and the upper quarter in general, starts to see an increasing nocturnal entertainment industry, but it's mostly male, or this is after the Civil War, it's mostly male-oriented in the form of a new phenomenon called concert saloons. And if you imagine kind of in a typical Western, the can-can dancers and the swinging doors and the exclusively male audience, that's a concert saloon. And the role of women there were either performers or a server. So with the changes during the 1920s, this new cultural phenomena of a nightclub emerges, and it probably comes out of Paris from the 1890s and diffuses to North America. And it's distinct along a number of grounds. First of all, couples and women in particular would have been proud to be seen in a nightclub. They were exclusive. They catered to respectability. Prices were high because that made it all the more exclusive. And most importantly, food was served, so it wasn't pure alcohol. People arrived as couples, they danced, and there was entertainment there. There was a velvet curtain, there was a doorman, there was that sense of exclusivity.
Well, 1926, that's interesting because this is a prohibition trend, this idea of the nightclub, calling it a club and making it exclusive, not only in sensibility, but sometimes by invitation only, right? So it wasn't a public drinking hall. So these are things that made it okay in the Prohibition age?
Right. There's a number of things going on here. One is that the exclusivity of a nightclub lent it very easily to being a speakeasy as well. Count Arnaud Casanova, the founder of Arnaud's restaurant, was probably the first to introduce this new concept to Bourbon Street. Arnaud was a French-born. He was absolutely contemptuous of the American legal nuisance of prohibition. What's also going on is about 20 years earlier, there was a Louisiana law called that's known in the literature as the Gay Shattuck Act. And it's mostly known as the legal device that segregated the races in places that served alcohol. But what it also did is that it prohibited women from being patrons in places that serve alcohol and also live music from being played there. But there was an exception. If food was served, then women and alcohol and the live music could coexist. And so that opened up, that didn't cause nightclubs, but it boosted the economic viability of nightclubs. What's also going on in the 1920s is the phenomena of dating, of premarital sex, all these new liberated lifestyles that if anyone is watching Downton Abbey, it's the era right now in the 1920s is featuring these changes. And they were very much afoot in the United States as well.
Well, some of these things sound like things we're dealing with in New Orleans today. This idea about who serves food and alcohol. Is it a bar? Is it a restaurant? Does it have live music? Is that okay? What kind of neighborhood and districting and zoning are going on with these kinds of establishments? It's everything old is new again.
That's exactly right. And what's also going on in the 1920s is the advent of zoning and land use and codified geographies of where we want commerce and where we want residences. And so it's really a transformative era, and it was a transformative era for Bourbon Street.
So 1926, it was a happy new year on Bourbon Street. That golden age that you say, in air quotes, lasted about 40 years into the 60s. And then what did we see on Bourbon?
police raids and crackdowns by Jim Garrison, the district attorney at the time, later known for his JFK pursuits. These burlesque places and nightclubs were massively padding their incomes through illicit activity, illegal gambling, and beer drinking scams. So Garrison cracked down on them. This is 1962-63, and he knew if he cracked down on the illicit activity, he would clean up Bourbon Street. And he sure did, more than he ever wanted to. All the old line clubs closed because they no longer had that subsidy, and in their place began, by the late 60s, window hawking, which was the sale of alcohol directly through windows to pedestrians in the street. And so began the pedestrian parade, the drink-carrying pedestrian parade. So during the course of the 60s and 70s, the action shifted from the nightclubs and burlesque joints to the public space itself. And so when you go to Bourbon Street today, very few people target a club. The action is in the street. They want to blur the line between public and private space.
Richard Campanella talks to us every month about his Cityscapes column. He's professor of geography at the Tulane School of Architecture. Thanks again.
You're welcome, and thank you.